Welcome everybody to Mindset Win. My name is Lisa Ramoschkat and today I'm joined by Jörg Peter Klöppel, who is the head of mental performance at Red Bull's Athlete Performance Center. Jörg, what's up? How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I am well and incredibly excited, to be honest, for these Thursday episodes because we're doing things a little bit different. And today we're going to dig a little bit deeper into the conversation that I had with RB Leipzig's Xavi Simons and Dr. Peter Schneider.
You want to do everything perfect and you want to be the example, but you have weeks that you drop down and then you all go up.
But then, of course, the way how fast they are to judge and talk about people that I know on a mm-hmm. personal basis, mm-hmm. where I'll be like, you don't know them. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't know anything about this person except the 90 minutes you see on the weekend. Yeah. Is it really important to me? Mm-hmm. What people person, say. Yeah, what they say? Yeah. Is it important to me? Well, yeah, then I'm going to be sitting online.
Yeah, but I would say, like, everyone is different. Me, I always cared what my people say to me.
But your and people?
My people.
Yeah, that's a big difference.
Having my family on my back has been really important. And having the mindset that I have nowadays is because of them as well. And especially with my older brother. So having him with me, besides me, and going home, he said to me, we don't talk about football. We talk about life.
All right then, Jörg. So I can imagine that this was a special one for you too, because you have a personal connection to Pete, right?
Yeah, that's right. The world of sports psychology is relatively mm-hmm. small. We all kind of know each other. And Pete and I first crossed paths about 10 years ago, actually. So I've known him for quite a while in different ways. But ever since he joined RB Leipzig 2 years ago, we've been in a lot of contact. We work quite closely together. Always an exchange. I go up to Leipzig to visit him quite mm-hmm. regularly as well. He comes down to Salzburg every now and then. So yeah, it was really fun to see him interacting with his player there. Yeah.
Yeah. How did you see that, actually? That would have been my next question anyways. How did you see them interacting with each other? And how would you, I don't know, describe their relationship?
Yeah. Very, very close. Mm-hmm. Very empathetic as well. They seem to really click. And it's always nice to see a sports psychologist who's so close to the players. And I know that he has similar relationships to other players in the team as well, to most of the players, actually. And that's really nice to see that there's not this kind of professional, not a big professional distance between them, but actually they can talk about everything around the life of the player. But you can also see that Xavi probably knows quite a lot about Pete as well. Mm-hmm. So he opens up to him as well, which I think is a key ingredient to fostering that relationship.
Yeah, I can imagine. And it's interesting to hear that you said it's such an important factor for Pete to check in with Xavi and speak about, you know, stuff that doesn't really relate to football at all.
Yeah, well, I see this with my athletes as well. Whenever the athletes come to visit us at the Athlete Performance Center, usually they spend a lot of time on the road. Mm-hmm. These athletes, when they're competing in the World Championships, in the World Cup, whatever it is, sometimes they only have a couple of weeks per year at home. So it's often quite difficult for them to really have that connection with their support people, because they might be halfway around the world. Mm-hmm. And I tend to see that the athletes come in to see me, and I can tell that they're somewhat overworked a little bit, because they haven't, in a very long time, they haven't actually had time, quality time with other people outside of the sport. And I often have to remind them to actually take a little bit of a break as well and enjoy life and do something unrelated to the sport. And that doesn't always mean that they have to take a whole week of vacation and lie on the beach somewhere and do nothing. But it can even just be little moments throughout the day where maybe just for 15 minutes or 20 minutes, you actually, you know, talk to someone else. And the great thing, I guess, at the APC is that there are many athletes from many different mm-hmm. sports. So it's easy for them to actually start a conversation with someone who's from a completely different country, completely different sport, different age maybe, and just talk to them and find out what their struggles are, what their strengths are, and what they're going through right now, and things like that. So that really, again, what I said earlier about switching it around and actually being the one who initiates a conversation about something different, you know, that's what I tell the athletes to do at the center as well.
What really struck me was how they spoke about the power of people who believe in you and how that can affect you in such a positive way. And I don't know, even give you wings on the pitch in this way. Or on the other hand, what happens to a person if you don't have like a mental support network?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that stuck out to me as well from the interview you had. Because if we put ourselves in the position of a young football player, you can see how very quickly the whole day is just filled with football. Everything mm-hmm. is around football. You wake up in the morning, probably have lots of messages on your social media channels about you as a football player. You go to training, you get some physio treatment done. Everything is all around football and being a professional player. So I think it's really important for especially the young players to get that balance right and also still be a human, be a normal mm-hmm. person and not always be that professional player that everyone admires or sometimes criticizes as well. So I think it's really great how Pete, you know, apart from all the mental performance work that he's doing with the players, he also finds time or he takes the time or makes the time to have very down-to-earth, easygoing conversations with the players as well about music, cars, whatever it is, just to almost distract the mind a little bit and like I said, just get that balance right.
Xavi also referred to his relationship with his brother, saying that they don't talk about football at all. And he stressed a couple of times, actually, how important his family is for him, because these are my words now, give him a sense of stability, really. How important is that? And maybe how can we use certain things in the business life too? Because I'm just thinking, what if I don't know, work in an office where nobody believes in my skills, you know?
Yeah, yeah. No, I think especially for him to go home and have a strong support network of people who will love him regardless of how he performs as a football player, and they'll continue to support him. I think that's such an important aspect for him in his life, because otherwise, how would he ever find any ways to switch off or relax or just take the mind off things? And I think that there's a really clear translation from that to the business life as well, or anyone's everyday life. Because if I imagine having a long day at the office and maybe I got criticized by my boss, I got into an argument with a work colleague, and then if I went home and those conversations continued or people asked me only about that, and I never actually got the chance to talk about something that's happened in the news or the latest film that's just come out or something like that, then I'll take that stress all the way into the sleep with me, and I'll not actually give myself any time to switch off and distract the mind and take my mind off those things.
Do you have like a tip how to actively do that? Because I know myself, I can, you know, keep the wheel going forever, and it's crucial to be able to like find a cut. How can I do that?
Well, I think the easiest way is just to flip it around. So if I'm expecting other people to be there for me, like Xavi's family, to take my mind off things, ask me about other things and not only talk about football or my work, then I should do the same to them. So if I need that, if I feel like I need to switch off when I get home, then I should actively actually ask the other person about how their day was, or just in general what they would like to do, or just to talk to them about something that maybe they would want to talk about, and then immediately the conversation goes a different way. But if I come home and I let the other person lead the conversation and they ask me about work and I talk to them about work, then that conversation will just only go one direction. So I think the easiest way is just to flip it around and show the other person that I'm interested in them and ask them some questions.
What if you're by yourself, though?
That's a good point. But I think there are still ways to also take your mind off things by actually, first of all, just reflecting on the day. Actually, if I want to stop thinking about something, then first of all, I need to give myself a dedicated time to finish thinking about it. So if I come home and there's no one there, and I've got all these thoughts about work in my head, then I should say to myself, right, I'm going to give myself 15 minutes. And in 15 minutes, I'm going to stop thinking about it. And in those 15 minutes, I should really dedicate that time to it. I might want to take some notes, journal, write that email that's still on my mind, just to get that out of my head. Do whatever it takes just to finish those thoughts. And then after 50 minutes or 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever is suitable for you, then say, okay, now I'm done for the day. Now I'm going to go, now I've deserved to go and do something else, distract myself, whatever I enjoy doing.
That's really cool. Time your thoughts and then like in a disciplined way, stick to that and then just actively let it go. That's cool.
Yeah.
So Xavi feels supported and the sense of stability from his network or his family. You know, he chose his circle of people that he decides he gives power to. Their opinions matter. And he also picked the coach, obviously, but that's it. And that's where he also draws confidence from. That's what I feel. And what happens if you don't have a circle of people like that? Because I feel like your own confidence on the pitch or in the office shouldn't depend on other people, right? What if you don't have that stable network of people around you and still want to perform?
Yeah, very interesting question. And I like the way that you say, what if you don't have it? Because I actually can't imagine anyone succeeding if they didn't have a network like that. And I guess it all comes down to the fact that, you know, whose opinion matters the most to you? The thousands of people that never actually met you in person and never spoke to you and just see what they can see on the media, or the few people that you're very close to every day and they know you better than anyone else, maybe even better than yourself sometimes. So whose opinion matters more? And of course, it's the people that are close to you. So if they give me some feedback about something that I've done, then I know that that's very informed feedback. There's a clear reason why they would give me that feedback, because they know all the ins and outs. The other people can only comment on what the media has decided to show about me, right? So it's the value of that feedback is just so much higher, right?
And let me go one step further. Obviously, there's not going to be media articles about myself judging my performance, but feeling confident in whatever I do, how can I find like a tool, or what would be a mechanism to support my confidence or build confidence, really, even though surroundings are very challenging?
So there are four main sources of self-confidence, and maybe in a different episode we can go in detail into all of them. The one I'd like to focus on today is really the one that we call verbal persuasion. Which can be from other people, but also from myself. And I think that's the key aspect, that it's basically just getting that positive encouragement that I'm good at something and that I can accomplish a task that's ahead. And that can either come from the people around me, the people close to me, and if someone that I trust a lot, someone that knows me very well, tells me, no, I believe in you, I think you can do that, then of course that's going to give me a lot of self-confidence. But at the same time, I can do that to myself as well. And that's challenging for people, and it's not easy. And I completely understand that. It's not something that comes naturally either. It's something that you have to force. But just believing in doing that can give you the self-confidence. So it's that old thing about looking in the mirror and saying it to yourself. And yes, I know I've tried this. It's really weird. It's really uncomfortable. But actually looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, no, you're feeling good today. You can do this. You can you can ace that presentation at work. I believe in you. Saying that to your mirror image, it's weird. mm-hmm. but it works. So try it.
So you said four pillars, right?
Yeah.
What are the other three?
The other three are also just the state that I'm in, the mental or physical state. So mm-hmm. how I'm feeling, if I'm sick, if I'm injured or something like that, of course, that's going to affect my self-confidence. Then another one is the kind of vicarious experiences, which means watching other people do a similar task to what I'm doing. And the last one would be just past experiences. So everything that I've done already in the past, if I've done something similar before and it went well, then I can gain confidence from that as well. So just reminding myself about past experiences.
Those again are my words. The comparison to other people, how does that give me confidence? I see they can do it, so I can do it.
It has to be people that I can relate to. So mm-hmm. if I want to sprint 100 meters and I look at a video of Usain Bolt, then that's probably not going to help me very much because mm-hmm. I can't really relate to him. He's built very differently. Mm-hmm. But if it's someone that I can really relate to, someone similar age, similar educational background, in many ways, someone that I see that, okay, we're on a similar level, and I see that they've done it before, then that should give me a lot of confidence as well to say, well, if he can do it or she can do it, then why shouldn't I be able to do it as well?
That's interesting. And I mean, in another thing that really played out in this episode and really struck me is his adaptability to new surroundings, really, right?
Yeah.
Let's say I was able to verbally persuade myself that I got this, everything is fine. Maybe I even did the presentation well. But then one person said one negative thing about this. And let's say even the whole day in general went really well. It was a good day. I felt good. I nailed the presentation, or at least that's what I feel like. And one person said something negative. I am very sure that most people feel the same way, would definitely dwell on this one negative comment and probably would have, you know, the conclusion that the day would be a bad one. How do I deal with that?
Yeah, it's annoying, isn't it?
It's horrible.
It doesn't always happen, but I definitely know what you mean.
Yeah.
It happens. And unfortunately, that's due to what we call the negativity bias. Mm-hmm. But as humans, we are still hardwired to look out for negative things. Because actually, when you look at evolution, we haven't actually been around that long. Mm-hmm. We've evolved quite quickly, but we're still hardwired to look for dangers, look for any threats in our surroundings. So even just, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 years ago, we were living in caves, and that lion running towards me mm-hmm. was the one thing that I really had to look out for, and not all the beautiful flowers and butterflies around me. So that's still unfortunately true for us today, that yes, we, you know, consider all the nice factors in our lives, and we can actually train ourselves a little bit to pay more attention to the positive things. Mm-hmm. But we will always look for the negative things. And it's not about being able to not paying attention to that, because we will always pay attention to it, mm-hmm. but it's being able to then put it into relation and seeing the bigger picture, and you know, also just simply being aware that this is going to happen. Now that I've told you and the listeners, hopefully you guys are at least aware mm-hmm. that you will always pay attention to that one negative thing. But then just considering, okay, this is just one of the many things today. And actually, overall, it was a good day.
Do you have one more tip for us? So I'm aware now. I got that part. And I was able to, you know, kind of break the negative cycle in my head and just go like, okay, this yeah. happens sometimes. What would be a way to, I don't know, either turn it around even, or just neutralize that?
Well, I mean, you can try to take some learning from mm-hmm. the negative feedback that you're getting. So why would that person say that? Is there some truth in it that I can learn from? But apart from that, really just focusing on the positive things. So this is what positive psychology is, that you at the end of the day, you look back and you just, you know, point out the positive things that have happened that day, and you don't consider the negative things. You really focus on the positives. And even on the worst days, you will still find three, four, or five positive things that have happened that day, even if they're small, but you can still find them.
Easier said than done, but okay. All right, Jörg, that was so cool. Thank you so much for your insights, for the tools. Definitely going to try some of them at home for sure. And just a little reminder for you guys at home. So every Tuesday, we will have our interviews, the long conversations with big names from the sports industry and beyond. And these sessions we'll do every Thursday to, as we just did, reflect and extract some takeaways for you at home. And yeah, remember to also watch Mindset Win this season on YouTube, which is something we're really excited about. Comment definitely either on the podcast platforms or in the comment sections on YouTube. We would love to get in touch with you, or you can drop us an email, mindsetwin@redbull.com, and definitely hit follow or subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss a thing. We dearly hope you enjoyed this one, and I'll see you back on Tuesday.